Good morning. And good morning to folks who are joining us online as well. I'll hand over to Rosemary.
Good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor, and visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book in the vestibule. Next Sunday, the moderator of the General Assembly, Right Reverend Sally Foster Fulton, is conducting worship in Tully Allen and Kincardine Parish Church as part of her visit to Fife Presbytery. Kirk Session has decided we will join that service for morning worship on 1st October. Please gather in Kearney Hill Church car park at 10 a.m. for a 10:15 departure. It's our intention to share cars to travel to Kincardine. We'll need to give an indication of numbers attending and know-how if you can offer transport. A sheet's available in the vestibule. We'll not be on Zoom next week, but the service from Kincardine will be live-streamed via Facebook. Catch, our families will be contacted about arrangements for next week. Coffee morning. Our next coffee morning is on Saturday, 7th October, 10 till 12. Please come along for a cuppa, home baking and a chat. Bric-a-brac and pre-loved items to browse too. If you can help for all or part of the morning, please add your name to the list in the vestibule. Your help's very much appreciated. We'll celebrate harvest on Sunday, 8th October, and as usual, dry goods donated will be passed to Dunfermline Food Bank, along with cash from the sale of donated fresh fruit, etc. The next church walk will be on Sunday, 8th October. It'll be a local walk in Cairn Hill. Cairn Hill route to be decided. Meet in Cairn Hill Church car park at 2 p.m. and there'll be a coffee stop at the end. Blythewood Care shoebox appeal. The church is once again supporting Blythewood Care. Last year, 88,816 shoeboxes were delivered to people in need across Eastern Europe. You can help by filling a shoebox, donating items from the list which we'll use to fill the shoeboxes, a donation of money towards transport costs, pray for people who will receive the boxes. Leaflets are available in the vestibule or can be downloaded from the Blythewood Care website. Donations can be made until the 29th of October. And just before we move to the order of service, on Wednesday, the moderator will be passing through Cairn Hill as part of the pilgrim walk. So her and followers will be here at lunchtime. I think they're bringing picnic lunches, but if Kirk Session or anyone who's interested in helping on Wednesday can meet after the service this morning for a quick discussion to see what's required, that would be very helpful. So now, move on to the order of service. Thank you.
Number 196, come, now is the time to worship.
Thank you.
slight confusion here. Yeah, please, please sit. The confusion is that at Limekilns we sing an extra verse. And that extra verse, nobody knows where it came from, because it came with Barry and Marcia, and they don't know where it came from, but they just happened to sing it in a previous church. So it's appeared there. And but the what we've got in terms of here and in our hymn book is just one verse. So that's a long explanation for a simple thing. Next time, we'll know to put the tune in twice. Oh, right. Yeah, it might be difficult. Okay, maybe the easiest way is to do it our way. That sounds more like Cairn the Hill, doesn't it? Anyway, yes, we better dedicate an offering. Almighty God, accept the gifts we offer before you. We give of our time, talent and money as a token of our love and our desire to serve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we turn to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, we gather in your presence to offer our worship and our praise. We rejoice in all that you are and in all that you do. We gather with you as our loving Father, for we know that you created us and you provide for us. We know that we are dependent upon you in body, mind, and spirit. Through Jesus, you reveal your love and call upon us to live as your people. We think of Jesus in all that he did on this earth, sharing our humanity, being our Saviour. We thank you that in his teaching we know how we should live, and we know that we are your people. We are not dependent upon our own abilities, for we know that your Holy Spirit is with us. Through your Spirit we are gifted and enabled to live as your children. We give thanks for all that we are and have as your people, as those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. We confess that we are imperfect, that we do not deserve all that you give to us. We know how easily we choose wrong over right. We know that we need to confess and repent. So we ask you to hear us now as we take a moment of quiet to confess to the wrong in our lives and to seek your forgiveness. Gracious and forgiving God, we give thanks for your loving and healing touch. You take away our sin and we are made clean. Bless us, we pray, and enable us to be faithful to you, our God. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name, and we ask you to hear us as we sum up our prayers in the words that Jesus taught his disciples. We say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Hymn number 553, Just As I Am, Without One Plea.
Just as I am.
sometimes when we are describing who and what a person is, we say that we are the product of nature and nurture. We understand this as inherited traits and the effect of environment. We recognise this in ourselves and in others. There are things that come naturally to us and things where we have no natural ability. By the place we were born and the people in our lives, there are advantages and disadvantages. We see this in ourselves, the things that we have inherited. And we see it in children and grandchildren, things that are inherited from parents and grandparents. We all have strengths and weaknesses. Our strengths of character can be encouraged or discouraged. Our weakness can be made worse or controlled by environment, and in particular, people around us. Society also has a part to play, because some things are more valued than other things. But there is a third part. And that third part is something that we regard as a gift of God. We have choice. We can choose what we will be. Although those choices are affected by nature and nurture, they are choices. Our choices shape who we are. We can value or undervalue skills. We can develop our skills, we can restrain our weaknesses, we can control our less good character traits. All of it, of course, has the influence of other things. It is a whole mixture. In his letter to the Romans, Paul says to that congregation that how difficult he finds it to do the right things. He says, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the wrong that I don't want to do are the very things that I do. And I won't ask you to put up your hands, but I suspect most of us here can sympathise with that. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, we have the instruction to get wisdom. The writer, whether it be Solomon or one of the other authors or an editor of that book, tells us of the value of wisdom. Those first few chapters are all about getting wisdom and the value that it has. One of the errors we can make in terms of wisdom is to equate knowledge with wisdom. We sometimes hear comments that suggest our generation is wiser than previous generations because we know more. Knowledge is important, but without wisdom, knowledge can be used for bad as well as good. On a personal level, we can assume wisdom will come with knowledge, or expect that somehow we will become wise through life experience. I have occasionally said that I thought by the time I reached this age, I might be wise, only to discover that really I'm just as foolish as I was when I was young. In Proverbs, wisdom is personified. Many scholars understand the figure of wisdom in the Old Testament with who and what we would call the Holy Spirit from a Christian or New Testament perspective. In other words, the wisdom that the writer of Proverbs is talking about is God-given. It is the wisdom of God that comes through God's Spirit. Our readings this morning are a little part of the beginning of Proverbs that tells of the value of wisdom. And the second reading is from Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven and tells us about heavenly wisdom. And Rob is going to read for us.
Today's first reading is from the Old Testament, Book of Proverbs, chapter 3, from verse 13 to 26, the value of wisdom. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honour. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be the life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. And the New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, from verse 44, to Jesus as teacher and prophet. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. When Jesus finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offence at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honour except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do miracles there because of their lack of faith. Amen. And may God add the blessing to the reading of his word.
Hymn 465, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart.
Thank you.
Albert Einstein said, "The more I learn, the more I realise how much I don't know." Almost 2.5 millennia prior to that, the Greek philosopher Socrates said, "The more I know, the more I realise I know nothing." Wise words from very knowledgeable individuals. We recognise the wisdom that is expressed here. In many ways, this is the wisdom of recognising that knowledge is merely a collection of facts. And once you get a certain number of facts, you realise how much more there is to learn. In the news on Friday evening, we were told of the return of a capsule containing a sample from the asteroid Bennu. This will happen today somewhere in the Utah desert in the United States of America. This asteroid is described as being part of the remains of the creation of our solar system. It is hoped that analysis of this sample will tell us about the solar system of which we are part, and may even give some information about the mechanics of the beginning of life on our planet. If all goes well, a number of laboratories in a number of nations will receive samples and begin investigation. The hope is for greater knowledge. What was interesting in the news report was the way that knowledge was presented. It was very much as if increased knowledge on the formation of the solar system and the possibility of understanding more about the mechanics of where life came from was more than mere facts. Knowledge and understanding is important. If we do learn more about the origins of life, that will be a leap forward in our knowledge of how things work. All of that said, there was something almost religious in the presentation of this technological marvel and hope of scientific understanding. Socrates and Einstein remind us that our increased knowledge will more than likely raise more questions than it answers. Knowledge is neutral. Wisdom is that which enables us to make good use of knowledge. Lack of wisdom in the use of knowledge is often where we see humanity at its worst. We would be right to applaud greater knowledge on the origins of life. That, of course, should be perhaps tempered by how we use knowledge. As we face the greatest existential crisis of our time, we have plenty of knowledge about global warming and the effects of humanity, but we're not seeing a great deal of wisdom. The news broadcast telling us about the OSIRIS-REx mission had as its headline, the headline news that evening, was about something quite different. That was about Ukraine. I'm sure we will all remember the hopes expressed at the end of the 20th century and the beginning of the 21st century. The 20th century, we were told so often, was defined by two world wars. That century was almost controlled by conflict. And there was that hope that the 21st century would be different. as we near the end of the first quarter of this century. We are aware of the conflicts that have continued on from last century into this. The war in Ukraine, now well into a second year of conflict, seems very much like a repeat of the evils that we believed we had left behind. It doesn't take much reading of history, be it recent or ancient, to find that humanity's increase in knowledge does not equate with an increase in wisdom. Knowledge is important, and it can be of great value. But the book of Proverbs is correct. Wisdom is like a priceless jewel and worth more than gold. I'm sure that you'll have heard the question, what is God doing when you look at the state of the world? Those with faith sometimes struggle with the question. How many of us have sat watching the news and gone, where's God in this? Those without faith often ask this question as an accusation. Where is your God? Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven in very similar terms to the description of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. When we say the Lord's Prayer, we say to God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. We as Christians belong to the kingdom of heaven. The good news, the gospel, is that God not only has a plan for creation, but a place for each one of us within that plan, and gives us the resources to live out the kingdom. When we say, your kingdom come, it's not, well, I hope you're doing something, God, or a kind of wishful thinking. We are saying we will be part of that. And as part of that, we look to God's guidance, God's strength, not our limited human resources. I remember a chorus from many years ago, probably back in the time when I was a youngster in church. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Jesus is the embodiment of God's love, grace, and mercy. He reveals what it is to be fully human, to belong to the kingdom of heaven. He is the pattern for our humanity. Here is that treasure that is worth more than anything else in our lives, the pearl of great price, worth more than everything else that we have to gain. The materialism and secularism of our society tells us that in material things, in the things of this earth, we will find meaning and security and happiness. Evidence from our own nation is that an increase in secularism and materialism has led to many people struggling to find meaning, feeling less secure and not finding happiness. A basic tenet of humanism is that life is based upon science rather than faith. By its very name, it is a belief in humanity, in the things of this earth. We should have faith in humanity. We can say that from a Christian perspective. One of the great mysteries of the Christian faith is that God trusts us. God has faith in humanity. Through the wisdom of God, we have it within us to live out the kingdom of heaven. We have the wisdom of God. We have the Holy Spirit. That is God's gift. In terms of that wisdom, the wisdom that is the kingdom of heaven, that is living by God's Spirit, is not always acceptable. It wasn't acceptable even in the face of Jesus. That little story about Jesus in Nazareth, one that we know well about, people saying, but we know your family, we know where you came from. Or that good Scots saying, aye, I kent your feather. The real put down. Even the wisdom of Jesus was not accepted by his own people. We are called to live out that kingdom, acceptable in our society or unacceptable in our society, because we are offering a wisdom that is not of this earth. It's the wisdom of the heavenly places, of the kingdom of heaven where our belonging is. God gives us his Spirit to live out that wisdom. We can truly go out that door firm in the belief that we carry with us the wisdom of God. Live out the kingdom by the power of the Spirit. Amen. We sing now hymn 646, Forth in the Peace of Christ We Go. We offer now our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we offer our prayers for others, we remember your love and compassion. We remember that we belong to your kingdom and depend upon your wisdom. We think of all who suffer because of bad and unwise decisions made by those in authority. In this world, many suffer because of the choice to use conflict and violence. Many suffer because of greed and selfishness, by the wrong use of authority. We take a quiet moment to pray for our world, remembering those caught up in the war between Russia and Ukraine and all the other places of conflict on this earth. We remember places where nations are divided by tribe or ethnicity, where peoples turn upon each other and live with enmity and prejudice. Almighty God, we cry out for peace on earth, for justice for nations and peoples and individuals. We are very aware that this has been a year of natural disaster, where many have been caught up in the destructive power of nature. We remember before you rescue workers and aid agencies. We remember before you the need to care for our planet and the responsibility that we carry for much of the hurt we witness, for we are part of humanity. Almighty God, remind us of our need to care for each other, to see each other as our neighbour. Give us wisdom and courage and generosity to make this world a better place through our living, bringing your kingdom to this earth. As we pray, we remember our own nation. We think of the difficult decisions that are the responsibility of Parliament and Council. We think of the announcements that have been made this week about the use of fossil fuels, about how and when those things will cease to be used in such a destructive way. And so we pray not just for the guidance of our leaders, but for our responsibility in the way that we live. We think of people living with difficulty in a week where strikes have been announced and education will be disrupted. Our prayer is that a just solution be found. Give wisdom to those who negotiate. And we think of all the other things that affect this nation of ours. We pray for your will to be done in this country of which we are part. As we pray for the church, we remember the visit of the moderator of General Assembly to Fife. Our prayer is for the encouragement of your people, We pray that you will bless us so that we may be a blessing to others. We pray for Sally in this week and in her year as moderator. Guide her words as she represents the church in so many different ways. And for our congregation here, for our cluster, for our presbytery, and for our denomination, for our church in all its denominations and in all its branches, hear our prayer. We think, too, of those who are very close to us. We bring before you both the joys and the sorrows of our families, our friends, our neighbours. We take a moment of quiet to pray for people by name. We offer our prayers and requests in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And to you, our God, be all glory and praise. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn number 468, Son of God, Eternal Saviour.
Oh,
now to love and to serve, to be part of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.